expose my mind to clarity. Oh, my spirit shudders. Capture the moment, oh, to keep my sanity and the wisdom rushing in. So much clearer.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Oh Shoot. I'm your host, Cassidy Lynn, and we've got another episode for you this Monday. I hope everyone had a great weekend, and I hope this week just goes so smoothly for you. I hope you have no drama, no cares, and by the time next Monday rolls around, it's going to feel like it flew by. That's my wish for you guys. So today we've got an episode about camera lenses. And listen here, I specifically wanted to talk about this because of something that I posted. Okay, so usually I get some of these podcast topics randomly just from like things I'll post. And this episode is no exception. So let me explain. I posted an Instagram reel. Well, I also posted it on TikTok. Of basically, I used my Ray-Ban Meta glasses and recorded myself shooting with my 24-70. Okay. And I posted it, and just like on the screen, I said why I love my 24-70. And then that was it. What I thought was a reel that was very low effort, wasn't going to get much traction, turns out the opposite. I mean, it didn't go like viral, like millions of views, but I got a lot more interaction than I normally do. So it got me thinking, maybe we should talk about camera lenses, because from the sounds of it, my opinions have kind of changed as far as lenses go. And I've probably done an episode somewhere along the line of, you know, me talking about camera lenses, but I think I've developed a little bit of a different perspective. So that's kind of what I want to talk about today, is just camera lenses. And I guess I want to get you guys thinking about this. If you're someone who feels a little bit bored in what you're currently doing or needs a little bit of like a refresh or whatever, I think this is going to be a good episode for you. So first off, if you're watching on YouTube, I currently look like a cup of matcha. I'm literally wearing like a green, like it's literally like a matcha green colored shirt. So I'm really embodying my love for matcha right now. Last week I announced that Necessity was dropping, and I just wanted to give you guys a little Necessity update. And if you're new or don't know, Necessity is my clothing curation for photographers. So just came out for creatives. It's like business professional stuff. And I just want to hop on here and tell you guys that it went really well. And thank you to everyone who bought something. It went so much better than I expected. And I'm so excited because I have drop 2 coming soon. So I'm working on that for you guys. So very exciting. Lots of new pieces coming, but thank you guys for the support on Necessity. It's always cool when you launch something and you get a lot of good feedback. So a lot of people were saying like congrats, or like saying that this was something they'd never seen before, whatever. So that makes me feel good, because I try to do things that are a little bit outside of the box, things that are a little bit unique. I don't know. Not saying I'm the most unique person out there, but you know, I try to just like reinvent the wheel sometimes. So yeah, it was good to see a little bit of positive reaction from you guys. A couple other random updates for you, because on top of the fact that I'm a podcaster, I also am a photographer. So let me give you guys a little bit of like a booking update. Just to not, I don't think that really any of you are really going to book me for something, but I always think it's interesting to hear from other perspectives, from one photographer to another, just like how things are going, how the year shaping up, whatever. So I have for this upcoming year, I have 8 weddings to shoot. So this is quite a drastic change in number for me because I used to shoot a lot, like 30 weddings last year. Did I have 20 last year? I think I might have had something close to that. Maybe not last year. Maybe it was the year before. Anyway, I'm normally shooting a lot of weddings. So this year, my goal was to kind of scale back on the number and focus more on like the ideal client, raise my prices to a point where I can like, you know, only book a few weddings. So 8 weddings, that's how many I have booked for this year. And I'm super excited. Our first one's in a couple weeks. And then it's just like, go, go, go after that. I did this week. And guys, this is something to keep an eye on. It's proposal season coming up on the summer. Everyone gets engaged during the summer, I feel like. And when people get engaged during the summer, that means they're booking their wedding for the next year in the summer, basically to give them a year-long engagement. So keep your eye out for proposals, for engagements, stuff like that. I booked a proposal for like the Hamptons area. And I'm really excited because they like covered all my travel and I'm literally flying in for a day and then leaving the next day. But it feels so, with proposals, it feels so sneaky and like it's like a surprise. Like I can't wait to see how it turns out. And I can't wait to see like the reaction of the person that's getting proposed to. So I just like kind of love proposals. I feel like I do trash talk them a little bit because it's very stressful. However, I do think that they're really fun. So proposal season is upon us. And the last thing I want to say, I've been feeling a little bit restless, I think is the word I'm looking for. I have been chilling, hanging out for basically since November, 6 months. I've literally been like hardly shooting, whatever. So I definitely am feeling restless. I'm feeling the itch to do something. And I know it's funny me saying that because I just like launched something. I just traveled somewhere, but still like it's a weird feeling. I think it's kind of like an impending, like I know that my busy season is coming up next month. So I just know that a lot of things are going to start happening and it's going to get quite busy. So I think now I'm feeling like this restlessness before I just am like, go, 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 go. I don't know. That's kind of how I'm feeling lately. I don't know if you guys can relate to that. It's just like even though I'm supposed to be resting and hanging out, you know, my last month before things get crazy, it just feels like, I don't know. It feels like I'm just ready to jump into it, I think. I think I'm just anxious and I'm actually looking forward to what I'm doing this summer. So, okay. This week we're talking about camera lenses, as I've mentioned. And here's the thing. I thought to myself, oh, it would be so fun to find like the top voted on lenses, like figuring out, okay, what do the people like? Like who's got the People's Choice Award for camera lenses? Like what's everyone's go-to? What's the fave? What's the most highly ranked, top rated, whatever. And you know what? A list like that just simply does not exist. Like, I want to know, you survey 1,000 photographers. I want to know what each photographer is choosing lens-wise. And I want to know what was the top. That's really what I was looking for. I didn't really find it, if we're being real. I found a bunch of like random articles of like one person being like, here's my favorite lenses. But I want a compilation of like thousands of people who have voted on these lenses, and it doesn't exist. So basically that just tells me that either I have to survey thousands of people or I can just make up my own list. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you guys like my personal rankings at the end, tell you just like my thoughts based on like certain criteria of different things. But I was able to find two articles. They're not like thousands of people voted type of vibe, but it is like this one specifically is the best zoom lenses in 2024. Top picks from Canon, Sony, and Nikon. So I think this should be interesting. We'll just kind of go through, talk about what each of the different options are. So basically we've got zoom and prime lenses. And quickly, just to tell you guys the difference, a zoom lens, you can zoom so you can get closer without actually moving. You can change your focal length. Prime lenses are fixed focal length, so you can't zoom or anything like that. There's pros and cons to both. A pro to the zoom lenses is the fact that you can zoom, but a con is that typically the aperture doesn't go lower than f2.8. There are a few zoom lenses that go to f2, which is so nice, but most of them, f2.8 is the lowest. Whereas with a fixed focal length, you know, we've got all different focal lengths. Like you can't zoom, which is definitely a bummer, but that aperture can go much lower, sometimes all the way down to f1.2, which is game changing if you're shooting in low light. So with that being said, we're going to start with a list that's talking just about zoom lenses. And then I found another list for prime lenses. So first thing we're going to talk about is they have the best overall zoom lens. And this is kind of crazy. The best overall zoom lens is the Sony 200-600mm f5.6. Okay, so if you can picture in your head this lens, it's like the dad lens at like a soccer game where it's like, it's white and black and it looks low-key like a telescope. That's what this lens is. And 200-600 is absolutely crazy. That is if you are literally shooting the moon. Like if you wanted to take photos of the eclipse a couple weeks ago, this is the lens you're using, okay? Best zoom lens overall. Okay. I'm just going to keep my mouth shut. Okay. The best Nikon telephoto lens is the Nikon 70-200 f2.8. So similar vibes to the best overall, which was the Sony 20-600, but the other one is a little, or 200-600. This specific one, the 70-200, is, you know, a little bit zoomed out. So you know, you're not taking photos of the moon on that one. So the best, let's see. Okay. They name a lot of like Nikon lenses. A lot of them are like 70-200s. The best overall Canon wide is the Canon 28-70 f2. So this is the lens that I was talking about, has low aperture. This is the lens that irritates me because I shoot Sony and Sony does not have a 28-70 f2. They only have f2.8s. So this lens alone, a lot of people are switching to this lens and getting rid of a lot of their like 35s, 50s. Because they usually don't go lower than f2 anyway. So it's like, why have different lenses for each of that when I could just have one zoom lens that does it all? So this is the best overall Canon wide zoom. In my opinion, I would say this is one of the top zoom lenses, period. And, you know, it's non-biased because I don't shoot Canon, but I still think it's a great lens. Totally worth it. Let's look to see how much this lens is because I'm very curious. I'm sure it's in very high demand. Oh, wow. It is $2,779. It's currently 10% off, but I don't know if I trust that it's not always 10% off. Okay, so this is a pricey lens. That is the equivalent of buying a camera, like a nice camera. That's crazy. Okay, anyway, moving on. The best Canon telephoto lens then is the Canon 70-200 f2.8. I have a feeling this is going to be a common ranking, is just 70-200 f2.8. I feel like that's a very standard zoom lens. When we think of zoom lenses, I really think of that specific zoom, that specific 70-200. And something that I think is a really big benefit to using zoom lenses, I personally think that having a mix of prime and zoom lenses is ideal. However, if there's one zoom lens that I think is absolutely essential for, like, if you're trying to cover a lot of different areas of photography, I really think the 70-200 is it, because when you are capturing moments, specifically like if you're at a wedding or something, and you're like, okay, I need to be able to be far away and still capture what's happening, this is the lens. You know, like, I think this lens is essentially like you're teleporting from one place to another. Like, you're all the way across the room, but you're still able to get the photo. So not only is it telephoto, it's teleporting, because you just can't be on the other side of the room with a 35 millimeter. It is what it is. We love the 35. We love her. We've been loving her. But the 70-200 is really growing on me. Do I think it's the most artistic lens out there? No. I think it's kind of standard. It's giving like soccer game vibes, but it's a really good lens for what you need it to do. Okay. So it looks like that's the end of the list for the zoom lenses. Pretty standard. Cool. So now we've got prime lenses, and this list is not as long. And this is just like four prime lenses that you should try. And I can guarantee you guys probably already know what they are. I feel like there really are like four focal lengths that are the most popular when it comes to prime lenses. I don't know. There's only so many primes that you can get. Like, they only make so many different ones. I believe it'll be like a 16 millimeter, 24 millimeter, 35, 50, 85, and then like a 135. I feel like that's really what we're working with here. So let's see. Four prime lenses that you should own. First one is a 24 millimeter. Now, I will say there is a 24 that Canon has, and it's literally like a sliver big. And I'm like, okay, first of all, how is that lens so small? I don't know if you guys know why I'm talking about. It's literally like the smallest lens. And you know, it gets the job done. I'm pretty sure it's like decently cheap. So we've got the 24 millimeter, we've got the 35 millimeter, which is a very, very popular lens, the 50 millimeter and the 85 millimeter. So those are the four prime lenses that this specific article mentions. So let's sit and think here for a minute. Okay. Because when I started this podcast, I was definitely like pro prime lenses only. That was me shooting everything on prime, everything on fixed focal lengths. That was Cassidy Lynn 2021. However, it's 2024 and I'm changing. I'm evolving. Some might say for the better, some might say for the worse. But regardless, I think my opinions have changed a little bit, and I've really started to see the benefits to incorporating some zoom lenses into your life. So let's go. I just want to like talk through some of the different lenses that I've used. I actually have like a little ranking system that we're going to talk about. And basically we're going to go through a couple different like criteria for each lens. So we've got the weight of the lens. autofocus capabilities of the lens, versatility, background blur, distortion, and how often do I use it? So that's what we're going to kind of go through with the lenses that I own. And then I kind of want to talk a little bit about lenses that I've used but do not own. Okay. So let's start with my prime lenses while I have them, you know, on my mind. We've got my, let's start with the 85 millimeter. Okay. So I have had two 85s. The 85 millimeter f1.8, that is a Sony lens. And then the 85 millimeter f1.4, which is what I upgraded to when I really was in the thick of weddings. So let's go through my rankings. Well, no, let me just talk about this lens for a minute. So I find that I don't really ever grab for this lens. Like if I'm, you know, gun to my head, someone's like, take a picture of this, I'm not grabbing the 85 millimeter. If someone was like, let's do spontaneous photo shoot, you have to grab one lens in 2 seconds. You're not thinking about it. It's not the 85. However, I will say, I think the 85 might be Charlie's go-to. And I think for me as the main shooter, I don't find the 85 to be the most versatile lens. However, Charlie is more of a complimentary shooter. He is just supplementing moments that I missed, or maybe he's getting different angles, whatever. And he finds that the 85 works really well for that. It also pairs really well with the fact that I usually am using a 35. So if he's using the 85, like that's a really good contrast in how the photo looks. So yeah, I'm not grabbing for it, but I would say that's probably Charlie's most used lens. So let's go through my rankings. Number one is weight. The 85 millimeter f1.8 is significantly lighter than an 85 f1.2. Or not 1.2, that would be crazy. It's 1.4. And I don't know if you guys knew this or not. This is something that I didn't know for a while, but as the aperture capabilities get lower and lower on a lens, it gets like bulkier and bulkier. Okay. So you'll notice like the 85 millimeter f1.8 is not as bulky as the 1.4. So like the lower the f-stop capabilities, like the actual lens gets bigger because of that. So that's something to keep in mind. The 85 1.4, it's decently heavy. Not the heaviest lens I own, but definitely heavier than like most lenses. The autofocus, great. I find that with the 85, my photos are very crisp, very clear. I do think some of that has to do with the background separation, just the fact that there's a longer focal length. So you're able to get a lot of distance in the background. So I think that helps with autofocus and making your subject feel clear. But I definitely think the 85 checks that box for sure.
If you want to improve your editing workflow but not lose any of the quality in the process, I have the perfect solution for you. Let me introduce you to Aftershoot Edits 2.0. Aftershoot is an AI editing software that's going to give you consistent edits every time. And in this new version of Aftershoot Edits, you get to experience the most consistent edits straight out of Aftershoot. It comes with upgraded AI models and several new features and improvements. One of my favorite improvements is their upgraded AI exposure, which can instantly fix the blown out highlights and murky shadows in your photos. Their upgraded AI effortlessly handles over and underexposed images. Even those tricky backlit shots, you're going to get balanced, detailed photos every single time. Some of their new AI tools include AI masking, advanced cropping, and improved straightening. You can really make your subject pop with Aftershoot's new AI masking. Their AI masking intelligently identifies your subjects and applies a mask over them, which enables you to selectively edit your images. And you can say goodbye to tilted horizons or awkward angles. You can use Aftershoot's improved straightening tool, which is ideal for outdoor shoots. Get consistent edits every single time with Aftershoot. Try Aftershoot Edits 2.0 by going to aftershoot.com/edits. Head on over to the link in the description of this episode to try Aftershoot for free. Thanks so much for listening, and now back to the show.
Versatility wise, I would say the 85 does not rank very high with versatility. I mean, it's a fixed lens. It's kind of like you get what you get. So I'm going to rank versatility on that low. Background blur, definitely high. I think it has beautiful blur. A lot of people love the 85 for its creaminess and like that sort of feel. So if you're into that, if you love when a photo feels really creamy and dreamy, the 85 is definitely something you should look into. Distortion, very little, if not none, no distorting. And how often do I use it? I would say on a wedding day, I'm using it maybe 15% of the time. At a session or something, 10% of the time, I'd say barely. Let's move on to then my 50 millimeter, because this is going to be similar. So there's the 50 millimeter f1.8. That's like the nifty 50. A lot of people have that lens. I have the 50 millimeter f1.2. This one is significantly wider, bulkier, but the f-stop can go lower. Weight wise, it's heavy. It's a heavy lens. I would say similar to my 85, heavier than most. Like it looks like an intense lens. Autofocus works great on the 50. It's the same as the 85, where it has decent amount of separation between the background and the subject. So you get nice blur. Versatility, I would say the 50 is a little bit more versatile than the 85 just because it is a little bit wider. Yeah, I think the 50 is not like, it's not versatile, but I would say it's more versatile than an 85 just because the 50 focal length is not as, what's the word I'm looking for? It's not as obvious or noticeable that it's like a super long focal length, if that makes sense. Background blur, you definitely get some nice blur with the 50. Distortion, there's no distortion really. How often do I use it? On a wedding day, I do find myself grabbing the 50 millimeter more often lately. I think it's something that I'm starting to gravitate towards, a little bit of a longer focal length. So I would say I use it maybe 30% of the time on a wedding day. Specifically, I really like the 50 millimeter for the exit, or no, the entrance in a wedding, like people coming down the aisle and stuff. I find that the 35 is a little bit too wide. And the 50 is like the perfect focal length for me for that. So yeah, I would say at a session too, like sometimes I'll just bring a 50 to a session because it's like that good of a lens. Okay, so then we've got the 35, which is my last prime lens that I own. This lens really was my bread and butter for like the last, like 2021 Cassidy, loving the 35. I still do really love the 35. However, I'm gravitating away from it for some reason. I don't know why. I think I'm just appreciating, you know what it is? I think the 35 looks a little bit too much like an iPhone photo, and it's not like intentional. It's just the way the lens is. Like it's wide enough to the point where there's not a ton of background blur and like separation between your subject and the background. So it looks a little bit more like an iPhone photo in that sense. And then it's like, if I want something a little bit longer, I'm going to use another lens. If I want something wide, I'm going to use one of my zoom lenses because that can go all the way to 24. And yeah, I don't know. I'm just not using it as much. It's like, if I'm going to do something wide, I can get 35 on my 24-70. It's not going to be F2.0, but it's going to be F2.8. And like, it's good enough. I don't know. That's how I'm feeling lately. I also think that a higher aperture is a lot more common. It's like becoming very popular right now. So let's rank the 35. Weight wise, my 35 1.4, very light. Lightweight, love it. Autofocus, it works great. I will say, you know, just the nature of the focal length, the 35, you're going to have more in frame. Therefore, it's going to feel like a little bit less separation between your subject and the background. Versatility wise, I think it's very versatile in the sense that you could really throw a 35 on your camera and shoot basically anything if you can move around. So I would say, yes, it's definitely versatile. You don't get a ton of background blur. Distortion, not too much distortion. You really don't notice a difference. How often do I use it? I would say on a wedding day, I'm using it probably 40% of the time, maybe a little bit more. Like during a reception, I find myself using it quite a bit during dancing and stuff like that. So maybe like 50% of a wedding day, I'll use the 35. So let's go to my two zoom lenses then. So recently I picked up a 24-70 and a 70-200. I feel like there was a reason I got the 70-200. Oh, I remember. I had this wedding to shoot and I got an email from the priest. So it was like a Catholic wedding. And the priest basically emails me and says like, hey, just want to let you know, like, you can't move around during the ceremony. Like, just want to give you a heads up. You have to stay at the very back of the ceremony. You can't move around. So when I got this email, it was literally like a couple of days before the wedding, I'm pretty sure, something like that. I panicked and I think I ordered a 70-200, but then it didn't come in time. And so then I literally went to Best Buy like the day before and I just bought the lens and used it for that wedding. And I've had it ever since. So let's just go through my rankings here. Weight. This is quite possibly the heaviest elephant of a lens you could ever own in your entire life. The 70-200 is not for someone with weak arms or weak hands or weak wrists. The 70-200 is built for someone who has biceps and basically wants to have hand cramps for the rest of their life. Okay. That's what the 70-200 is for. However, I think the 70-200 is a really amazing option for weddings, for being in two places at once, basically. Like, I think the 70-200 is that good. Is it worth the wait? I would say yes. I am the type of person who, like, I put the lens on, but I try to get it off as quickly as possible because it's very heavy. Or I'll try to just like rest my camera down for a little bit because it's like such a heavy lens. So that's like the one downfall to it. Autofocus wise, it works great. Autofocus is amazing. Versatility. Yeah, I would say it's very versatile. It's versatile if everything you're shooting is far away. It's not versatile in the sense that you can shoot something that happens right next to you and then you can shoot something that happens like 100 feet away. So it's versatile in the sense that everything you're shooting is decently far away. Yeah. I mean, a zoom lens is always going to be versatile because you've got different focal length options. Background blur, for sure. You see a lot of background blur with the 70-200. And it's not anything that's ever too little or too much. It's always the perfect amount. So I love that. Distortion. I mean, you really only see distortion with like a really wide lens. So I would say this lens does not really have any of that. How often do I use it? Great, great question, Cassidy. So I never use I keep saying 24-70. There's like too many numbers. My brain is like, what is happening right now? We haven't used this many numbers since high school, since my algebra class or whatever. What did I take? Statistics? That class is nuts. So the 70-200, how often do I use it? Never really at a session. It's not really something that I would prefer stylistically. It's not like my style does not really involve a 70-200. It's too long of a focal length for me. Like the minimum is 70. Yeah, that's crazy. So I'm using this lens mainly at a wedding, but I will say I use it a decent amount. If I have enough lighting to use it, like it's not like a super dark reception space, I'm using this lens for during a ceremony for sure. I'm using it to get the exchange of rings. I'm using it for vows. I'm using it for close-ups of people. Yes, yes, yes. All the time during the ceremony, reception, entrances, speeches. I'm using this lens a lot for cocktail hour, you know, like to be in two places at once. I would say 30% of the time, 30 to 40%, at least either me or Charlie has this lens on. Okay, so let's go to the last lens, which is the 24-70. Now, I just posted about this lens because I think this lens has decently changed my life. Unfortunately, when I bought this lens, I was not expecting much at all. Like I had used a 24-70, like early on in my career, but it was a Tamron 24-70, and specifically like an off-brand 24-70 struggles a little bit. This one specifically that I was using really struggled to hit focus, which sucked, but it was such a versatile lens. I found myself always using this lens because I could just pop it on my camera and no matter what I was shooting, I basically was able to capture it. I mean, 70 is a pretty long focal length. And I found lately when I'm doing a shoot, I find myself going in between like these editorial vibes of wanting something like really, really wide, and then also wanting something like super long and creamy feeling. Like I kind of go back and forth between those two vibes. And that's why I love the 24-70, because I think I'm able to get wider shots, you know, like something that feels more editorial and more street style with the 24, but then with the 70, I just feel like it's so romantic and feels like a movie, right? So I've been really liking this lens, if I'm being completely honest. Yeah, it's a really nice lens. Now, Sony really needs to put out a 24-70 f2.0. Like my life would be changed. I would sell like all my lenses basically if that lens came out. So I've just been finding that like with higher aperture being popular paired with wide angle lenses are popular as well. And like, I really feel drawn to like I just mentioned the 24 and the 70 side of things. I don't know. I just really like it. And what I like is in the moment, I can switch gears. So I literally did a shoot like last week of a girl popping champagne, and I was on like a 50 millimeter length, give or take, shooting the champagne pop. But then she wanted like quick photos of her like chugging the champagne. And I quickly switched to 24 to give it a little bit more of like a fun, like editorial vibe. And I love the difference in the photos. And it was a flip of a switch for me. Like I was shooting and it looked like I was shooting on a 50, you know, the background was so blurred. It was perfect. And then it was like, boom, editorial vibes, drinking the champagne, all within literally like a second. So, I mean, it's really been a good lens, guys. Like it's kind of crazy. Let's go through my rankings. So wait, is it heavy? It is. I think specifically the 24-70 that I have is like longer. It's very long. It's wide, but it's definitely like a long lens. So that's something to think about. Autofocus, I will tell you guys, let me spill the tea. My 24-70, I think I got the first version of it. So not like they released like a second version of this lens. I got the first version. I think I tweaked and I should have got the second version because the first version struggles slightly with focus. The subject's face is always in focus, but I find that it almost always completely blurs my subject, like their body as well. Like it'll be for sure that the face is in focus, but the rest of everything else, it's kind of like, I'm not completely sure. Not completely sure. And I've been seeing it in like a couple of my videos as well and like other stuff. So the focus is okay. I think when you start to get like wider with the focus is when it doesn't really like do its thing. Like, I don't know. So that's the one thing about this lens is that's been kind of bugging me. I'm not even going to lie with you. Versatility. This is probably the most versatile lens you could ever own. Blah, blah, blah. You guys know this. Background blur. If you're shooting all the way at 70, totally get background blur. If you're shooting at 24 though, you don't. And I think that's part of the reason a lot of people really like this lens is because of the fact that it offers both. Distortion, you do see a little bit of distortion within the 24 side of it. That 24 is very wide. And I almost got a 24 prime lens when I first was starting photography. But then I was thinking about it a little bit and I was like, I don't think I'd ever use a 24. And it is rare that I'm going full 24. I find that sometimes I'll just go to like 30 or 35. I won't go all the way to 24. So it's just, I don't know. It's definitely versatile. I don't love the 24 focal length though, but it's nice that it's there. And like I said, it creates like crazy distortion. Like, yeah, I mean, not crazy distortion. Like if we're looking at like a 16 millimeter creates crazy distortion, but the 24 does give you a little bit of fisheye, not much, but like a little bit. Okay. And then how often do I use this lens? Definitely more than I'd like to admit. I would say a lot, like probably the same amount as my 35 at this point, like 60% of the time at a wedding. Like if I was wanting to use a 35, I think I might sub it for a 24 to 70, which is crazy because that's been like my go-to lens for so long. So yeah, that's kind of my breakdown of all lenses, all things lenses. So I hope this was insightful and you guys feel like maybe you want to try something new or stick with what you got. Hopefully at least this was a little bit educational. And I just want to give you guys like my overall rankings of everything. And if I'm going to give like a winning lens, it's going to be the 24 to 70 for me right now. So there, I said it. Now you have it. Now you have info. That's going to wrap it up for today's episode. Thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you so much for being here. Don't forget to rate and review the podcast. We are on YouTube as well. So go subscribe over there. Follow us on Instagram. Yeah, I think that's basically it. Thank you guys so much for being here. And I will see you next week for another episode. Bye. Exposure. With all of the highlights and the shadows is my composure. All the layers above, all the edits and tweaks, I know her. I am messed, so done, need more time developing in my red room. It doesn't matter wherever I am, on the top of the mountain or down in quicksand. Whatever the moment, wherever we stand, I'm taking it. It doesn't matter wherever I am, on the top of the mountain or down in quicksand. Whatever the moment, wherever we stand, I'm taking you, taking you, taking you. Oh, sure. Getting a little bit higher. With every step I take, I'm getting good. Oh, sure. Getting a little bit better. I'm climbing to the top. Never gonna stop finding. Getting a little bit higher. With every step I take, I'm getting good. Getting a little bit better. I'm climbing to the top. Never gonna stop, I'm getting good. Oh,